Good morning, Calvary. That's not too bad, but the sun is shining. Good morning, Calvary. Awesome. I'm going to turn things over real quick and then get some announcements done here.
Hello, everyone. I see some people out there that are talking that should be in here. Okay. Mainly my husband, but so I just wanted to announce I do have the sign-up sheet for March 30th at Ziano's. Anybody interested to join us? We did this last year. We're going to meet at Ziano's at 5 o'clock. The Ziano's over here. Chapel Ridge off Maysville. 5 o'clock. Lisa has her number on the sign-in sheet, too, if you want to RSVP via text. We need the numbers, the final numbers, by March 25th. You can also just write your name and phone number and number attending on there. That way, if for some reason we need to cancel, we can get a hold of you. But we're hoping that won't be the case. We had a good turnout last year, so we're hoping to have all of you there this year as well. And then in my hand, I have a whole bunch of cards. If anybody's interested, some of them are Christmas cards. Some of them are just blank notes. I was going through some of my mom's stuff at her house before we put it up for sale and came across a whole bunch of cards. So I'm going to just stick them out there if anybody wants to go through them. Again, there's thank you cards, sympathy cards, Christmas cards, blank notes. If you like to send cards to people, here's some cards for you. So I'll set those out there where Jean's at right now, and you guys can just go through them and take whatever you want. And back to you.
Awesome. And you and your hubby are paying for the Ziano's, is that?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's right. No, when we gather together, wherever we're at, if we're here or in a restaurant, the Lord is with us, it says. So it's always a blessing and a good time. I was talking to Mom and Dad about, I think it was last weekend, they had the Bible study and the teaching on the government. The women's had their meeting, and it's just a wonderful time. So if you're interested in getting to fellowship a little bit with each other in a different type of setting, those are good ways to do that and build those stronger connections between us as well. So if you get a chance, participate. You know, we'd love to get to know you guys better. And you get to know your brothers and sisters better, too. So that way, when you don't see them in church, you can give them a call and see what's going on. That might have been just what they needed to hear from you. You know, my mom is very good at trying to send out cards and things. And so it's just a kind of a gentle reminder to say, hey, you're being thought of, and we love you. And so if you can come to some of these special events, please do. I'm taking too much time. I think I saw my dad go, rah, rah. I'm just kidding. A big announcement that there will be no services tonight. And that would mean choir and praise team will pick up next week. We'll start it next week. But if you could take note of that. There's a couple of announcements I do want to hit here. Belated birthday for Stephanie Ellis. I'm going to go around and start asking you about maybe sharing some special music, or I would love to hear testimonies. And maybe you don't sing, and maybe you don't feel like, oh, I can't sing a solo, I can't do this, but you can give your testimony about how you came to know the Lord, what God's done great in your life, how he's kind of led you. It would be great to hear some of you guys' journey. So if you'd love to give your testimony, please contact me. My email is in the bulletin. But I might come up to you and say, hey, Lisa, I'd love to hear. See, she's shaking her head. That's not her gift. She knows that. But you get her in a small group, she'll talk your ear off and make you know that she loves you, because she's got a heart for love and service. So, but if you would like to do that, pray about that. It'd be great to know a little bit more about your walk and how you became the person that you are today through the love of Jesus. I think that's pretty much it. Again, I always, if you could, please take your bulletin home with you. Put it up on the refrigerator and with the blast page open. Those are some prayer requests. And every time you go to the refrigerator, open that door, maybe say a prayer for someone on that list. Just a shout out saying, hey, God, I'm going to come to you and say, please bless Todd. He's got a lot going on in his life. And God hears that. And I definitely know that prayers work. So just another reminder, these are good for keeping that us, again, close to each other and in our hearts. Is there any other announcements that I might have missed? Yes, I was going to say that. It's so good to see Pam and Rick here today. God bless you guys. So good to see you. And again, be careful with hugging and kissing and all that kind of stuff, fellowshipping. We just want to make sure that they both stay healthy. They've got some stuff going on coming up. So love them and hug them from afar. But it's up to them how close they'll let you get. And I do have a praise that I just want to kind of say. It kind of hit me yesterday as I was driving around and having to run, or 2 days ago, running errands and stuff. And I thought, you know, the Lord's blessed me with my independence that I could still drive and take care of myself. I never thought I'd be able to do that again. And that's a blessing that God showed me. And I was just kind of contemplating that, trying to find my joy. And that was one of the things that kind of hit me, that I just stopped what I was doing. No one yet. Stopped what I was doing and just said a prayer and said, thank you, God, for this gift. And for letting me have that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for being with us today. Wherever we are gathered together, you are there in our midst. We just want to praise you and just get our minds focused on you. Open our ears, Lord, to what you'd have us hear today. And we ask that you just be with each member that's represented today. It's so good to see our family back with Pam and Rick with us today. Thank you, God, for prayers being answered and how you're working. It's so good to see Ms. Constance here again. It's so good to see her. Dear Lord, just let us be a people that prays, a people that longs for you, that longs to be in your presence. Please bless this sermon. Bless the special musics as we sing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You're invited to stand.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds as music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. He tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. He tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for mankind to show. What he did there, what hope to from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you.
You're invited to stand once again.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, by Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death do lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Father, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Jesus, I adore you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Spirit, I adore.
That being justified by grace, we shall have made heirs to the hope of eternal life. Again, Heavenly Father, we pause for a moment. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the preservation of it. We thank you, Father God, that over the years many attacks have come, but the Bible is like an anvil. The hammer attacks and the hammer falls silent and the anvil still stands. Help us to recognize and realize your love for us. These are difficult times. They are approaching a climax of some sort, I suspect, Lord. Only you know. So we pray that you will be with those that we have in power over authority over us. Help them to find your will for what they should be doing as our representatives. Be with those who are serving in far-off places, dangerous places, and keep them safe as well. Lord, be with our missionaries. They're in places just as dangerous many times as our troops, and they're there to propagate the gospel, and sometimes it's illegal to even have a Bible. Nevertheless, to speak the name of Jesus in celebration. So, Lord, I pray, Father, that you will work in those people's lives, use them in a mighty way. Be with us here today. Help us to leave from this place and say, in spite of Brother Mike, in spite of the terrible singing, in spite of the guy that sat next to me who didn't brush his teeth this morning, and all those, in spite of all those things, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, we are quickly approaching I believe to be probably it is the most important time of all a calendar year. In just a few short weeks, we will celebrate Palm Sunday. And then we will celebrate Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday. And you know, I suspect over these years that I like history. I like to just read history. I like to find out what people thought about and did and those kind of things, how it affected things, how the lack of this or the consequence of changed things. So I like to read history and historical events that change the world and impact lives. Whether we realize it or not, these things are happening all around us all the time. Edmund Burke, who was a great philosopher, once said, "Those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it." You probably heard that saying. Anton Gansky, who also wrote several books, he said, "True as Burke's statements are, Gansky says, some history deserves to be repeated. Like the enormous bravery, drive, determination of those that hit the beaches on Normandy, they're worthy of immolation. We should never forget them. Some history must not be forgiven and forgotten. It must be on the top of our minds. And the outcomes of those things were so important. If it went this way, it would have been another thing. If it went that way, it would have been another thing. So there are literally hundreds of events that shape how we think. Sometimes we probably don't even recognize it at all. Acts of kindness or unkindness. How we worship or don't worship. How we do things and how we proclaim things. All those, it all affects, and it's not just singular things. These start to roll together. In 1961, just a few days before the president-elect, John Kennedy, was inaugurated as a president, he invited the evangelist Billy Graham to meet him in Florida to golf, but to meet him. Now, people were surprised at that invitation. They were surprised at that meeting because JFK was a Roman Catholic. Billy Graham, of course, was an evangelist, Protestant evangelist. And JFK was known for his total disinterested spiritual matters. And it was also known that he didn't like Billy Graham very much. But nevertheless, somehow or another, the Lord... what's it say, Matt? Use the pulpit mic.
Oh, okay. Is that right? This one doesn't work, or what's happening? Must have died. Okay. All right. Well, I can hear that one. Yeah. So anyway, JFK invited Billy Graham to come play golf with him on kind of neutral turf and all those kind of things. And nevertheless, as they were driving back from playing golf, Kennedy pulled the car over and asked Dr. Graham, he said, I want to know one thing. And Dr. Graham said he thought of just a million questions popped into his mind. He said, but this one didn't. He said, do you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again someday? Graham responded, I certainly do, Mr. President. Then Kennedy asked this, then why do not hear more about it? Well, it is kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? If we really believe the Bible is the Bible, if we really believe that Jesus is coming back again, we really believe salvation is Christ in Christ alone, and we must come by faith, all these sacramental things, all these people. This morning, as we were getting ready to leave the house, the television was on, and this guy came on, had some beautiful robes and all those kind of things. And what he was saying for a little while, I thought, okay. And then he got into all this crap. I mean, all this stuff. Well, there you go. See, that's the reason I'm not there. And ruined the whole thing for me. Listen, why aren't the things of God spoken of truthfully in the dynamic of the world all around us? I suspect because we don't say it. We don't live it. We don't tell it. We expect somebody else to do that. We expect the Billy Grahams of the day to do that, or the Pastor Kim or something like that, to sing it. You know, I always love the pastor's singing. When we used to go to the nursing home together, people actually cry when he was singing. I'm not sure if it was because it was so terrible or so good. I'm just kidding. Not unlike other important events, though, however, they're recorded in the scriptures. Sometimes we don't have a very good grasp of those events. We're an educated people, but we're a biblically illiterate people. We know the Bible is supposed to say something and mean something and all those kind of things. I suspect maybe every home in America probably has a Bible. I just suspect that. I don't know that, but I suspect that. I know in our house, in our home, we had a Bible. We had a big family Bible, not unlike that one there on the pulpit or the Lord's Supper table before the pulpit. And it was open like that. And that's where it was. We never had a time where my mom or my dad says, hey, come on here. Let's turn the next page over. We read that one yesterday. It was decoration. It was nice decoration. But the whole worth of the scripture is nothing at all if it's sitting on a table unread. So we all agree that there are significant events that happen. Sometimes there are very little common ordinary things happening all the time. But sometimes these little things change our lives. I remember when we came back from Germany in 1962, we went to Montana to a little radar site, and I've said this before. We were about 38 to 40 miles from Havre, Montana. I don't know if the Havre is basically due north of Great Falls, Montana. Great Falls is the capital. And we're about 20 miles from the Canadian border, so we were closer to Canada than we were to Havre. Sometimes we would actually go up to the border and go across because there was a small little town on the Canadian side, and we would go up there, and my dad would take the car up there to fill up with the gasoline because it was a little cheaper up there. And we would buy something in that little store or whatever like that. And the border guys, you know what they did when you were pulling up? They go. They didn't stop you. They didn't ask, what are you doing? What are you going over there for? Or anything like that. They were just, what was it? It's routine. People went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I guess that's the policy we instituted on the southern border, too. Back and forth. Anyway, in those situation, we were kind of isolated in a sea of wheat, just wheat everywhere. But on November 22nd, 1963, I was in high school. I was in school. We were in Havre, and that's when JFK was shot. He was assassinated in Dallas, Texas, as you well know. And we had an assembly. And nobody knew why we were having assembly right in the middle of the morning, about 10:30 or something, 11 o'clock, something like that. And so we all came to the assembly hall, and all classes, not just a select few, everybody. And all teachers were up there. And our principal got up, and he said, I have something that's very, very important to tell you, and I want you to be quiet right now and listen very carefully, because I only want to say it one time. And he said, President Kennedy was shot in Dallas today. And if you thought it was quiet up to that point, it was even quieter. Wow. Over the years, I've thought about this, and I think I probably shared with you because I do that sometimes. He said, I want everybody to stand. He said, if you feel like it and feel comfortable, grab the hand of the person next to you. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And we're going to pray together. Wow. And he led us in just a very beautiful prayer. Prayed for President Kennedy. Prayed for our nation. Prayed for the leaders. Prayed for all kinds of very salient, important things. And then he said, amen. Then he said, you're dismissed. Go straight home. Well, I didn't live too far from school, so it was just a few blocks. I walked over there. And when I walked into the house, my mom grabbed me by the neck and hugged me and kissed me and all this kind of stuff. I thought, what's going on with her? She said, I've just been watching television and President Kennedy's been shot. And I thought, oh, that's why I'm here. So there are things that happen in history that touch our lives, and that you can't untouch it. You can't unsee it. You can't say that it's not significant. It was significant. There are events like that that happen all the time. But what really brought the Vietnam War to our doorstep there in Havre at the Air Force Base that my dad was at, was we had to ride in a bus 38 miles back and forth to go to school. And one of the kids, one of the guys that was in our bus, he had three sisters. He was the only male child of that rancher, that farm. And I knew from what his sisters said, because sometimes they were a little snarky, a little jealous or something. Like they would say, you know, da da da, dad loves you most or something. Well, I think what they were trying to say, at least that's what I kind of determined, was that he's the man, he's the boy, this ranch, all everything's going to go to him first. Because you're going to marry somebody, go off someplace, but we want this to stay in our name. But he went to Vietnam. Hadn't been over there too long at all, and there was word came back that he'd been shot and killed. That brought it home to us. Wasn't somebody way off someplace? Wasn't somebody that we didn't know? I didn't like him very much. He was a little bit of a bully. He liked to give you a Dutch rudder and slap you around a little bit just to wake you up in the morning, I guess. Whatever. But anyway, he was dead. So to me, that was no longer a chance encounter. That was a historic encounter. The next thing that I remember that was historic to me, and I said something to her this morning a little bit about that, was I was stationed at Fort Walton Beach, Herbert Field, Eglin, Maine is there. Eglin is the largest physical land area, Air Force base in the world. Almost all of Northwest Florida is Eglin. It's bombing ranges, it's this, it's that, all kinds of stuff. And so I was stationed in that terrible place where I had to work and then I could go to the beach. Saturdays I could go to the beach. Sundays I could go to the beach. Whenever, any old time I wanted, I could go to the beach. And I spent a lot of time there at the beach. There was interesting things happening at the beach. There were all kinds of girls there that wore scantily little things at the beach. It was interesting to me. And so my dorm mate across the hall from me, he said, "Hey, Harris, let's go to the beach this afternoon." I said, "No, I don't want to go to the beach." I said, "I'm almost out of gas. I don't want to spend the rest of my gas just going to the beach and back." He said, "Never mind that." He said, "I'll put $20 worth of gas in your car." $20 at that time would have filled it up. So, whoa, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I'll get my swimming suit. And we went. And he went off someplace. I don't even know where he went. But I took my little towel and rolled it out there. And there was a family up in the places where they have picnic tables and overhangs and all that. They used to have some electrics out there too, even. But they were having a picnic or something. Actually, they weren't having a picnic. You know what they were doing? Celebrating a birthday. But I didn't know that. But there were two girls over there that got my interest. I thought, whoa. I didn't know they were having a birthday party or anything like that. I don't care. But man, I'll tell you, there's a couple of good-looking gals over there. So I kind of wiggled my towel around a little bit, things like that. And this big group, that was just her family. It was half the country, but it was just her family. They all celebrated and got done eating, you know, barbecue and all that kind of stuff and went home. And her sister stayed. Okay. And they came walking out a little bit. I was kind of off to the right over there. And I'm sure that, you know, they hadn't noticed me at that time or they'd come over and sit down beside me. But anyway, I was sitting over there and they came over and pulled out their stuff and put it down, those kind of things. And this one girl was blonde, blue-eyed, and all that kind of stuff. And I can't say some of the other things that Frank said that she had as far as beauty was concerned. But I thought, I bet that's the girl that Frank has been going out with a little bit. And she told him that she had to go back to Texas to get rid of the louse. I thought, okay. And so I walked over there, and they were sitting there on the beach, and I said to them this marvelous, wonderful question. Watch out. Don't say this unless you don't want to get married. If you want to get married, say it. If not, don't say it. I said, are you girls from Texas? And guess what they said? No. And I thought, yeah, sure. You're from Texas. I knew they were from Texas. And so I talked to them a little bit and things like that. And finally, it was getting, you know, to be about 5:30, 6 o'clock or something like that. And I said to this one, I said, hey, how about let's go to the movie or do something tonight? She said, well, I guess so, but I'll have to go home and tell my mom and dad and all this kind of stuff. Would you mind driving me there? Okay. I didn't know I had to go to Niceville. That's 18 miles away. But anyway, carried her over there. She went inside, changed clothes and all that kind of stuff, came back out. And then I thought, ha ha! I'm taking her back to Herbert Field. I'm going to go in the barracks, and I'm going to get my friend Frank Vasante, and I'm going to drag him out, and I'm going to say, ta-da! And that's what I did. And so Frank came out. He looks in there, looks back at me. I thought, wait a second, that's not the reaction. I said to him, I said, Frank, I said, you don't know these people? He said, no, I don't know that girl. I've never seen her in my life. Then the salient question that came to my mind was, now what do I do with her? Because I was sure that she was one of those Texas girls. But, you know, I didn't know that me staying at the beach, seeing these two girls, asking this one to come show her to Frank, would lead to her sitting there, and I'm married to her, and got these kids. She was really a good wrangler, wasn't she? No. Anyway, so there are many, many things that happen that we don't know what's happening as we're doing it, but they are important, and they affect lives. Many, many times, significant events happen in our life, and in God's infinite wisdom, He uses things. So now I'm married, and in the infinite wisdom of the United States Air Force, it was time to send me to South Korea. They could have sent me to Vietnam, but they didn't. They sent my friend Frank Vasante to Vietnam. He was a United States Air Force mechanic, and guess where he got stationed in Vietnam? A place called Monkey Mountain. Does that sound like a resort area to you? Mm-mm. It was a Marine fire base. And every night, the Viet Cong would rocket it, shell it, do things like that. Frank wrote me several letters, and I could tell from the letters, he was scared to death. But I got sent to Osan, Korea. Nobody's shooting at you there. No siree. Listen, God works things, and you don't know how He's working those things. But the most significant thing that ever happened to me, second to meeting her, is who I met in Korea. You know who I met in Korea? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I met. We had 50 guys in my section, heavy equipment operators, 50 guys. Two guys were witnessing Christians. One lives down in Indianapolis, one lives in Slidell, Louisiana. And those guys were constantly bringing tracts, constantly asking questions, doing those kind of things. They witnessed to me about the Lord. They gave me a four spiritual all track. I don't know why I kept that track, but I kept that track. And one night I got in my barracks and I was thinking about things. And I went and got my Bible out of the Salvation Army gave me a Bible because they thought I was going to Vietnam, but I wasn't. But anyway, so I had a Bible, had a track, got the track out, read the track. And you know, being an apostate Presbyterian, I thought, if you're really serious about prayer, the appropriate position for prayer is where? On your knees. So I got that little track out. I got down beside my bed on my knees and I read that track. And, you know, basically just tells you the four spiritual laws. It tells you you're lost without Jesus. You need to ask Christ to come in your life and all those kind of things. And at the very back, there's a I blank. Now, ask Jesus to come into my life, forgive me of all my sin and be Lord of my life. And I pledge that I will honor Him, and I will serve Him the rest of my life. And then there was a place on the bottom of that little track. You're supposed to sign it. I just thought those were just formalities. But that's what happened. So that was significant that God sent me to South Korea, because it was there that I came to know the Lord. Well, we all have moments in our lives, if we look back at them. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Some things stand out because they were so good. Some things stand out because they were so bad. Significance in things that happen in our life. And then we go rushing headlong, because time's flying by, isn't it? And these events somehow or another get crowded out a little bit. Somehow or another. An event that changed everything in my life was being sent to Korea. In Matthew's gospel, you said, I thought you said we're going to be over there. I did. Matthew 28, it's a very familiar passage, but I want to know that I'm reading it. Matthew 28, verses 1 through following, and through the following, verse 8. It says this. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, notice all the details there, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Jesus had been crucified. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Remember, there were some guys that were sent over there to watch that tomb. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. These are the words. For he is risen, he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you to Galilee, there you shall see him. Again, lo, I have told you all things. We could read the Great Commission. That's a great commission too, isn't it? We're supposed to tell people about Jesus. Let the world know what separates us from them. The scripture said they departed quickly. Oh, I suspect so. You probably wouldn't have wanted to get in front of them. They'd probably run over you. I think about this in the sense that we serve a risen Savior. I always get a little caught up in some of these kind of things. I know what the cross represents. That's an instrument of death, isn't it? That's what the Romans did to Jesus. They killed him on that cross. Why do we have it in our sanctuary? Why do we have it here? Because he was transformed. That instrument of death produced the instrument of faith in that Jesus Christ died, but he rose again the third day. That's the thing. That's the thing. Jesus taught them in parables, the scripture says. And what is a parable? It's kind of an earthly truth with a heavenly meaning. Over in Matthew 13, he's talked about the parable of the sower. You're probably familiar with that. He said, behold, a sower went out to sow. Some of the seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. So there were basically four types of soil here. Some by the wayside. This is where the people would walk between the crops, kind of a path. And the birds came and ate those seeds. Some fell on stony ground. The soil does not provide enough. It provides enough for germination, but not enough that they might grow healthily. And then some fell along the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked it. But others fell on the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The disciples came to him and said, why speakest thou in parables? Remember, they asked Jesus that. And in verse 18, Jesus says, he explained the parable, what it meant. when in verse 19 he said, when people heareth the parable, they understand it not. The wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in their hearts. People don't understand while we're here today. Their minds are blocked. Their heart is closed. And so God has to do a work, a miracle in their life for them to be here today, just like he worked a miracle in your life. Change that life. Stony places. Those are the places where the word, they receive it with joy, but don't take root. Good ground, though. They hear it, understand it, and bring forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You see, man's reception of the word is dependent on what? Our hearts and the Spirit of God opening those hearts. Many of our lives exemplify good soil. If you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're missing the whole thing. You're missing the whole thing. Very important, we or I recognize how God's wonderful grace, but also the providence of God in world events, that God makes things happen. He moves us around like pawns on a chessboard, and the Middle East is literally on fire. China owns, I heard this on the radio, television the other day. Did you know China owns 500,000 acres of prime U.S. farmland? I don't know how I missed that all along, but I heard it the other day and I went, what? Their Navy is they're constantly improving, constantly make it better, constantly make it bigger. Well, we're not doing any of those kind of things. World events are very important, but we need to recognize that God's sovereignty is in all things, even world events. We need to recognize that everyday circumstances need to come under the sovereignty of God and the purposes God has for them, and they will come to bear. There's an old saying that says this, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so. The sparrow said to the robin, oh, I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. That's the thing, isn't it? We get all caught up. Gas, food, what's this, what's that, world situations. We have a Heavenly Father who knows all those things. He has given us a commission. We are to be royal ambassadors for him. He didn't say in the good times. He didn't say when there's no problems. He said we're royal ambassadors all the time. Titus 3:12 says, and when he sent Artemis unto Antiochus, be diligent, he said, to come to me in Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter there in the winter. The God of all creation, this God that speaks in our language, that understands us, he condescends to speak to us in common, ordinary ways with common, ordinary people, and he does it all the time. This should not surprise us. Jesus was the Word made flesh, wasn't he? And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God condescended to us. God is in the business of speaking to our hearts. He loves you. Could show that no greater way than Jesus coming to die for you and being raised again the third day. Think about the work of God today. Is it being done by special people? Or is it being done by ordinary people? I think we would probably say ordinary people for the most part. And because you're working for Jesus, you're transformed from ordinary to what? Special royal ambassador for Christ. The majority of our work of the kingdom of God, as we talked about last Sunday, was the kingdom of God, actually is being done by people whose names are unknown to us and will never be known to us this side of heaven. Never know that. And here again, I go back to these things, and you're probably sick and tired of hearing them. But When I was in Korea, we had a chief master sergeant, and his name was George Abernathy. I met him when he came over to Chapel 2 the first day that I was there, and there was another guy there who was rotating back to the States, and there was just another guy there and me, and then George came. And the guy that was rotating back to the States was pleading that somebody should take this Bible study class. Do not let it die. He said, God intended for it to do something. We must be faithful. Don't let it die. Well, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know anything about Bible study. I just here by accident. I don't even know what I'm doing over here. But George didn't. He didn't back up. He didn't regroup. He took that Bible study. And he was a remarkable man. He took that. There were three people at Chapel 2, 8 o'clock in the morning. And when I left Korea, and I don't mean it has anything to do with me at all. I just give you a timeline. When I left Korea in Chapel 2 at 8 o'clock in the morning, there were 60-some guys in Bible study. Wow. That's just God doing stuff. God honoring one man, George Abernathy, and that he said, well, we're not going to stop this class. I'll teach this class. And, of course, he did an excellent job. But George also was a singer. I always think of myself as a singer. You got to have backup stuff. If the preaching goes south, then I'm going to sing. None whatsoever, is it? I was thinking somebody would say, yeah. But he was a singer as well. And he always sang this song. I love this song. There was two songs that I remember most of all, this one and the other one. And one of them was because of a Korean choir we had at Chapel 2 every Sunday. And they sang this song. And I must have heard it maybe, 50 or 100 times. And I finally asked somebody, what are those kids saying? And the guy said, you don't know what they're saying? I said, no, I guess they're speaking Korean or something. He said, no, they're singing in English. I said, oh, well, what are they saying? Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. They sang that every Sunday. It took me almost 13 months to figure out it was in English. Other people had figured it out. I'm slow like that. But George also sang. He would sing. And I never forget this song either. He'd say, I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. A messenger to me, two realms beyond the sea. I'm here on business for my king. Friends, you're here on business for your king. That's why you're here. He's kept you here, put you here, wants to use you here. He has one thing in mind. Oh, you might be able to make the best cookies in all the world, and we surely have some ladies that can do that. And I'm the best cookie eater you ever thought about giving them to. My wife sometimes, she asked about that plastic little dish. She said, can you bring me some of those cookies? I don't know, whose were they? Were they Phyllis's? And I had to say, well, no, there isn't any left. It's all right to eat cookies. It's all right to do those kind of things. Listen, we're here on our business for our king, though. These are the important things. We need to constantly remember these things, bring them to light, let the Lord use us in special, special ways. And He will. He will. He'll use you as only God can use you, in particular for the ministry that only you can do. It's amazing. It must have been really short on preachers that day. But nevertheless, it's true, isn't it? We're here on business for our King. We're here because we have a mission. We're here because Jesus loves us, brings us together, teaches us, schools us, shapes us, matures us, and uses us. And I'm sure some of you this morning probably thinking, well, I'm none of those things. I bet you are. You may not even recognize it, but you are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who Jesus is. Who he is. He's the risen Son of Glory, who overcame death, hell, and the grave for us. He is that Passover lamb, that spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is that mercy seat, that hysterion, the blood poured out there covering and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Wow, we're in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. We've got a mission. We've got gifts and talents. Those things are all there. Help us to use them, Lord. Sometimes we just stumble into things, but sometimes we stumble right into your will and your way. Help us, Lord, to follow that will and your way. Father, if there's decisions that need to be made here this morning, open public decisions, maybe coming to this altar and rededicating life, maybe coming for the very first time and saying, Brother Mike, I want to receive Jesus. I've been fiddling with this for so long. I want to get this settled. I want to give my heart to Christ. Whatever it might be, obey the Lord. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. What's our song of invitation?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now.